center of the working class majority. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick at therickssmithshow.com. So Stella, pounding the East Coast. Stella, what are you doing? 16 inches so far, and getting worse. But here's the thing. There are those in our government, now the guy who's the head of the EPA, would like to see the snow go away. And I think back to a Drew Carey joke, who said he was out there pretending he was spraying aerosol cans in the air, going, screw the grandkids, I'm cold now. This is one of those days, the snow, the cold. Fortunately, we have an EPA director who's going to say, you know what? We don't care. Here to talk a little bit about that and whatever else we can bang around, our good friend David Yankovic. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Always, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, if I'm getting this right, we got a guy, Scott Pruitt, who's gonna make it warm again. We're going to make warm great again.
Well, that's not exactly how global warming works.
Darn
all together.
I was hoping for, you know, I was hoping Pennsylvania would be, you know, tropical paradise.
It goes through extremes. So what we're looking at right now is actually a product of global warming, believe it or not. What's happening with everything with it is, I mean, they go through extreme periods. So, you know, we'll have to go from there. Sorry, it's cold. It's brutal.
Darn it. So, but here's the thing, and this is where having a rational, sane discussion about someone who is in charge of the organization that is supposed to make sure that, well, the environment doesn't get completely raped and degraded, has sued the organization when he was in charge of his state's organization. And you go, wait a second, how did that happen?
I have no idea how any of this happened. But what we're looking at is really, really dangerous. And it's not just global warming that's, you know, the big threat. You know, they want to put pipelines in the ground that we have. Flint, Michigan, it still hasn't had water. It's been over, what, 600 days, 700 days now. And that's going to be basically everything. You and me, we're both in the same place, which is, you know, near Cleveland. We know about the mistake on the lake. We know about the river catching fire. Every time there's a playoff game, everybody likes to talk about it. And those days are coming back. If they keep going on the path that they're going on, we're going to see, you know, river fires again. And we're going to have, you know, people getting thyroid cancer when things leak. And it's going to be bad, and it's really disturbing that not enough people are standing up for what's right now.
It's interesting you bring up, you know, building pipelines underwater, because there was just a story over the weekend that I saw. I think it's Cook's Inlet up in Alaska that has been leaking since December, and they just now found it. And, you know, you're talking hundreds of thousands of gallons of new natural gas stuff and oil product, and they can't do anything till spring, because no one can get down to fix it.
That's going to be on a bigger scale. And the thing that the Republicans say is, well, if it happened in an area, thank God they didn't have millions of people. Well, they probably don't even care that there's millions of people. They just, it's not major newsworthy. It's not like it happened in New York City or, you know, a place where it would affect millions at a time. But what it's going to do to the wildlife up there, what it's going to do to just the natural scenery and everything, I mean, it's going to be devastating to the region. And, I mean, you know, we saw it with the BP spill. We saw it with everything else that's gone on. And, I mean, it's going to continue to happen, especially as they deregulate the EPA. And they're actually planning to demolish the EPA. And, I mean, that's not good for anybody, especially if you like drinking water.
Yeah, or breathing air. Yeah,
Breathing air.
And I talk about this because I grew up, like you said, I grew up in Cleveland, the home, in my view, the home of the Clean Air and Water Act, because the air was terrible. The water, Lake Erie was dead completely. You weren't allowed to swim in Lake Erie when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And in with policy, with smart policy, we did away with acid rain. We cleaned up the lake. In fact, the lake is so clean now that, you know, they don't know what to do with all the fish and the abundance of life in it.
Isn't that amazing what can happen when you put your mind to it? And my family, we come from Akron, which is, you know, about 70 miles south of Cleveland. And it was a rubber city capital. And what they used to put into the air, I mean, I hear stories still of, it's reek of burnt rubber all the time, and your car would actually get like ash rubber all over it all the time from, you know, what was happening. They just polluted the air. It was so bad that, you know, like you said, you know, you couldn't breathe. And then all the Clean Water Act, you know, the Clean Air Act. I mean, really, Ohio kind of led the way with everything there. And it's a shame now that There's so many climate deniers, science deniers. You know, it's amazing.
It is amazing, but here's the thing. You know, having grown up in Cleveland, I understand that the industry is important. So the picture that's often painted, David, is that, well, you know, if you want clean air, you can't have industry. They paint it in these very black and white areas that we don't have the technology to clean things up, and we don't have the ability to do smart things because evidently we don't have smart people. And that, to me, just is one of those really dangerous kind of premises, because people like you and me who want to breathe clean air and drink clean water are painted as folks who, you don't believe in industry and you just want to stand around looking at each other.
Well, I'm pretty sure that your family was very similar to my family, which is they were in those industries. You know, mine was air conditioning, and, you know, my father was in oil and gas. You know, those industries are vital to the communities. I completely agree. But to say that it can't be done, you're overlooking the last 40 years of history.
I mean, and again, what's that thing about history? If you don't learn the lessons of history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I see
That's
us going in that direction where we're gonna repeat some of the worst things of the past era.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we're already looking at Vietnam again, you know, with the buildup in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and rumors of troops being on the ground. I mean, the thing is the Republican Party does not read their history books. They do not understand what happened before. They don't understand the geopolitical ramifications of Russia and the reason why they're doing the things that they're doing, or any of the world. So they're absolutely doomed to repeat it. And our enemies and the other countries in this world, they do understand their history.
And you look at, you know, you didn't even put North Korea on that list. I mean, there was actually talk a couple of days ago of, remember going into North Korea? I'm going, really? Do we really want to do that again?
It's unbelievable. And every day it's something different. Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, you know, and I don't understand. I mean, we're the toughest country that there ever was. But do you really want to be taking on the entire world? And at what cost? And for what reason? I mean, war should always be the very last resort. It should be the last thing a president wants to do, not the first.
Yeah.
It's not the diplomatic saber rattling. You can't be that way. I mean, millions of people die. We're in a different era now. I mean, we're more sophisticated. There are better options.
It's absolutely crazy.
I mean, if you look at what happened with us in Russia during the Cold War, we didn't go and nuke each other. We raced ourselves to the stars. I mean, how amazing of a story is that? And now we're repeating the Cold War again, only this time we're probably going to get in a shooting battle.
So do you see that as an actual possibility, or do we go back to having proxy wars again, or is that era of proxy wars over?
Well, we're in a completely different era in terms of how superpowers are going to conduct war. What Russia is doing right now, by destabilizing all of their enemies, they never fired a shot. They destabilized all of Europe with Brexit. They never fired a shot. They destabilized the entire United States with the presidential election. That's how this is going to start, but there's only one way that this is going to end. And it's going to have to come down to the United States going eyeball to eyeball with Russia. That's the only scenario, unless we can get Putin to back down, and Trump isn't the president who's going to be able to do that.
No, I don't see that at all. And I look at, you know, in his budget, they're talking about cutting funding to the Coast Guard, and I'm going, you know, if we're taking this war kind of stance, shouldn't we be ramping that up? Shouldn't we be funding the Coast Guard a little bit since we had, you know, Russian spy ships not too long ago up and down the coast?
I mean, you know, the Coast Guard, first of all, does a lot more than, you know, the war stuff. They protect us from drugs. They protect us from, you know, anything that would be coming up our coast. So to gut it, to build a stupid wall, is the dumbest thing in the history of politics. A wall that will not do anything. It will not protect anybody. And in 7 years, it's going to cost $50 billion to build. Within 7 years, the cost is going to exceed it to maintain it. So it's going to be a pointless billion-dollar piece of crap. And we're gutting the Coast Guard, who actually protects us and keeps us safe, which is what the president is trying to sell to the country.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to keep everybody safe.
But here's the thing. The wall will have flowers, and it'll be very pretty. Because according to the procurement, you know, them putting out the bids, aesthetics are important.
Oh, I'll tell you what. 2020, when we get a new president, the first thing we're going to do is knock down that wall. Rebuild it.
And here's the thing. I mean, we're setting ourselves up for that, aren't we? For, you know, the Mexican president, they say, Mr. U.S. president, tear down this wall. We're setting ourselves up for that.
Well, that's what you just talked about before, doomed to repeat history. We're on the wrong side of it now. And every conflict in the world and everything that's happening, it looks like the United States is on the wrong side of all of it. We're being laughed at by other nations, and everybody is shaking their heads at us. Who's in any organized, you know, country? Everybody is embarrassed by us. I mean, that's a shame.
Absolutely crazy. And you know, one of those things where you just go, "I'm nuts." You listen to the Rick Smith Show with David Yankovic. You got a question for him? Thought, comment? 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. But, you know, going back to the EPA, you know, I've been saying, you know, for a long time now that the Trump questionnaire to cabinet members had to be question one: do you believe in the organization that we're going to put you in charge of? If you checked no, question two is when you can start. I look at this as, you know, you're putting a guy who's a climate denier, someone who's sued the EPA, who doesn't believe in the mission, in charge of that. How horrible do you think this could get? Because, you know, I get people saying, well, you know what, the agency's not going to let him get too far out of hand. It's not going to be that bad. You know, institutions will hold this kind of insanity in check. I'm curious your thought.
Every single person who has ever said that to me, when it was Trump's going to be president, how bad could it get? You know, we're doing this, how bad can it get? It consistently is getting worse. And eventually those people have to come to the point where they realize that this isn't going to get better. Now, Bannon a couple weeks ago said that he put these people in place in these, you know, positions to destroy the agencies they're leading. I mean, basically, that's what he said. They want to get rid of the EPA. They want to get rid of the Department of Energy. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. They're putting people in place to do that. Their mission is on point with what they want to do. There's no getting around it.
So the mission is chaos.
The mission is to destroy the agencies. They don't want those. They don't want the EPA. They don't believe in it or whatever it is, and they don't want education. They, you know, want privately funded schools. They don't want to spend money on it. And the thing is, we're a country that is very, very, very wealthy. We don't have to pick and choose what we spend money on like this. They do. But we can afford homeless shelters. We can afford to feed people and give people insurance. And, I mean, we really don't need to spend, you know, $70 billion on an aircraft carrier. We still spend more in defense than the next 30 countries combined, or something like that.
And only one of them are actually an enemy.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's, you know, even China, if their technology compared to ours, it's not even comparable. So as much as we're spending, you know, if we cut it by half and put it in other things, we would still be up by, you know, the next 15 countries.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because, you know, when you look at the conservative world that you're painting, we're destroying all of the government, we're destroying all of the safety nets, we're destroying all of the institutions, we're just mass chaos, and we're moving towards a conservative utopia. What does that conservative utopia look like, do you think?
Well, first, I'm not painting, I'm taking pictures. This is what it is. But their conservative utopia, I don't understand the scorched earth policy. This harms them just as much. Having bad pollution or whatever else, all of this harms them. So the only conclusion I can come to at the end of this, the only reason why they would do it, is because they get richer. Yeah. And their donors get richer. And they got put in power.
Is it that short-sighted, do you think, that it's just about the money? Or do you think part of it is that the majority of them are psychopaths?
I wish I had that answer. You talked to Propane Jane a lot about the mental health evaluation and stuff, but I mean, you have to be some kind of social or psychopath to want to do this to people. You know, just like healthcare right now, ripping healthcare off of 25 million people, and then on top of that, losing 25 million before 2018. I mean, 50 million people are about to lose their healthcare. I mean, what kind of psychopath can do that?
But haven't you heard, David? We're going to save $337 billion.
At what cost? Human life? You know, it could be argued that it's worth that.
And I would argue that we're not even going to save that, because those people are going to go somewhere. If you're lying on the sidewalk having a heart attack, you're going to go somewhere, whether you have insurance or not. And this is the fundamental flaw of their ideology. You're going to have someone who's poor and dying on the sidewalk. We're not, as a society, at least I hope at this moment, not going to let them lie there and die.
Well, still, you know, there's the Hippocratic Oath or, you know, whatever it is. I can't remember the name of it right now. But
Hippocratic.
Hippocratic, yeah. But they have to, you know, see somebody who is hurt and it is an emergency. So, you know, death's going to go up. They're going to be at the hospitals. It's going to happen anyway. But in their plan, you know, this is what they're trying to sell. And I almost wonder, is this a plan that was so bad that they didn't want anybody to take it seriously? That they just want to kill off Obamacare? and blame it on the Democrats and destroy Obama's legacy. And, you know, that would make more sense than trying to pass this abomination.
Than this. You're absolutely right. And I said that from the beginning. It's about the repeal. And they've already, in my view, done enough to allow Obamacare to die. They've defunded it. And that was always my problem with this. And it's my problem with any government-run program, because you're going to get crazy people in there who are going to strangle the funding, and eventually it all collapses. I mean, look at what's going on in the UK. They keep strangling the amount of funding that goes towards it, and it has not as many negative effects, but it has more than it would otherwise.
You know, you got to wonder what the real end game here is. The scorched earth policy, it only goes so long. Someone said on Twitter the other day that the Republicans have been the dog chasing the car, and they're finally tasting bumper.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this looks like. I don't even think that they have an agenda beyond destroy the agencies, and I don't know. I mean, it's scorched earth. It's really a war zone, and honestly, I'm a little bit disappointed in the Democrats for not fighting harder against this.
Well, that's a constant being disappointed with Democrats. But here's the thing, you know, I've been paying attention to this and trying to figure, like you have, trying to figure out what the end game is. And there's part of me that goes, this is another way to get the what's left of the moderate Republicans out of the party. Is think what you want about Paul Ryan in comparison to some of the Freedom Caucus folks. You know, he's a dead centrist. And there's a way, this is a way maybe to get those folks out and for the Republican Party to get even crazier, if that's possible.
Why? I mean, they're already, I mean, every time I draw a line, they cross it. It's like, well, they can't get any crazier, and then they do it. I mean, but I don't see the end game of what they're trying to do. Even, okay, they want to get Paul Ryan out. They want to go even crazier, but I just don't understand what, I mean, they have power now. They have all three branches of the government, pretty much. They could do things that would strengthen the party and help things in the future. And instead, they're choosing to demolish the government. I mean, really, it feels more and more every day like there was a coup in this country and that we were taken over.
But don't you think, I mean, at the end of this, when you look at the direction that they're taking us towards, really a corporatocracy, that it's about destroying the only institutions that can hold corporate power in check. And I do expect at some point when Republicans get enough state houses to have a constitutional convention, that they rewrite our Constitution. All they need are three more states, and it's game over.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree there. You know, I keep telling everybody, follow the money, because whenever you look at who's making the money on whether it's the, you know, Trump Care or anything, you know, that's happening, repealing Wall Street or, you know, whatever, you know, the bills and stuff that Obama put in place, all of it, somebody's making money on it. And I guarantee you that 100% of the time, those people are Republican donors.
It's interesting and amazing all at the same time. And you look at this this AHCA, it's really all about destroying Medicaid. It's about taking out a key part of the social safety net.
You know, the same thing happened around, you know, in 1930s. I mean, we're kind of looking at a similar worldview. The world's grinding up for war. Everybody was hurting. The only thing that hasn't happened yet is 1929 when the bubble popped. Right now, the stock market's growing because everybody's getting excited that there's less restriction. Pretty soon, that bubble's going
to
pop, and
then
it's going to get real bad. It's going to happen. Absolutely, it will.
No, you're right. I mean, it can only go up for so long before it eventually pops.
Yeah, and especially removing the safety nets that Obama put in place. Once they have free reign, I mean, it'll be a matter of months, maybe a year before it just collapses again.
Do you think it's that quick?
I think it's that quick, yeah.
Wow. So start saving rice and beans, is that the thing?
Start a backyard garden when it stops snowing.
Stop snowing. let me get out there and start digging right now. But this isn't funny. I mean, the reality is when you look at all of the pieces being put into place, all of this is very plausible.
It really is. I mean, the thing I find myself frequently saying is what I'm saying too radical? Because a year ago, everything I'm saying right now, I would have said that I'm crazy and I need to be Baker-acted. But now, I mean, everything's plausible. And when you look at the facts of it and you look at what they're doing, it's not only plausible, it's happening. It's physically happening right now.
Yeah, you'd have been one of those guys saying, the microwave's watching me.
That's what I would think about myself. If I talked to myself a year ago, and my year ago self would think I'm crazy, I would say, Donald Trump, there's no way he's president. Okay, then. You know, there's no way they're dismantling the government. Nobody would ever stand for that. They would have riots in the streets. They would close down D.C., and none of it's happened. Everybody's just kind of trying to take it day by day. And really, I mean, at some point, everybody's got to come together and just say enough.
Now, you tweeted out this morning you woke up agitated. And, you know, the reality is I think most of us wake up agitated every morning. Look, we've only been about 6 weeks into this administration. I don't know that the nation can take this kind of tension for four long years.
I have a routine. First thing I do in the morning, I check the news and make sure that, like, we're not at war. And then I read what Donald Trump said. And then, you know, I go through everything with, you know, Sessions. And I can't believe that he is still Attorney General after lying under oath. But, you know, I have seen a couple sparks of hope from the Democrats lately. You know, Kennedy, he's rising as a star, and I'm really liking what he's doing. You know, you have, you know, Connecticut, you know, Murphy. We're really seeing a lot of Democrats step up, but we need a lot more. Like, you know, there's 500 seats in the House, you know?
Yeah, well, Bob Casey actually found his way towards a microphone and actually woke up. I mean, there's a thing going on. Woke Bob Casey is a thing here in Pennsylvania.
I mean, it's amazing what I'm really proud sometimes, but it's kind of like we're in a marathon and they'll come out and they'll sprint for a few minutes and then they go back in and you don't hear from them for a week. Murphy and Kennedy, both of them have been on it. I'm really proud of Connecticut right now. But, you know, then we're seeing, you know, Issa in California getting challenged. I mean, there's a lot of really good candidates stepping up right now. So, I mean, I'm excited for 2018. I feel optimistic, but right now, everybody's just got to get their game face on and really get out there and start fighting.
I'm right there with you, and it's going to take all of us involved, activated, engaged. Last question, David. You know, you look at this, and again, I like to finish with an action. What should people be doing? What do we do? What does David Yankovich tell us we need to be doing?
Well, the first thing, support your representative. And I know a lot of the time it's hard, even for me, but when I see him doing something good, I tell them. And I call, or I send them a tweet, or I, you know, DM them or whatever. But that's a huge thing. Knowing that they have support gives them the courage to push harder. As loud as we yell, that's as loud as they can yell. So, I mean, we have to be doing that. Definitely, you know, be with the indivisible teams, getting together, going to town halls, make your voices heard. You know, keep pushing and don't give up. Don't give the Republicans an inch right now, because they're trying to take everything. So just keep pushing, keep organizing, keep getting out there, and pay attention to your local elections, pay attention to your state, pay attention to the federal. They're always ongoing, and, you know, get ready for 2018 because we're going to crush it.
Yeah, and remember to tell your representatives that Sessions lied under oath and committed perjury and should be fired and indicted.
Lied under oath twice, yeah. Definitely do that
there
for me.
David, appreciate the time, man.
Always, Rick. I appreciate it. Great. Stay warm.
Yes, sir. Great talking with you, David Yankovich. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.